Welcome to our shir. Frankly, I thought that I exhausted all what I have to say about the sphere and the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva in the previous 5 or 6 shiurim. And then I had a eureka moment a few weeks ago to discover that there is still another aspect, and rather an important one, that we haven't discussed it, which is much more encompassing than just the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. But it's a very important point. So let's go first and go through the basics that we have mentioned in the past. The Gemara is saying in Maseches Yevones, Omru 12,000 zugim talmidim hoyu l'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 couples of students. And again, 12,000 couples rather than 24,000 individuals. V'kulam metu beperek echad. All of them died in one period, says the Medrash, mipnei shelo nahagu kavod ze baze, because they did not treat each other respectfully. V'haya ha'olam shamech. The world became empty. There was nobody left to really transmit the Torah to the next generation. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva etzel rabotenu shebadarom. Rabbi Akiva went southward, and he taught the Torah to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elezer ben Shamua. And says the Gemara, Behem hemidu Torah ota shara. They are the ones that actually caused the Torah to be continued. So we have here a major catastrophe. 12,000 couples, 24,000 talmidim of Rabbi Akiva are dying, and they're dying to the point that there is really very few left to transmit the Torah to the next generation. And the reason they died, says the Gemara, mipnei shelo nahagu kavod ze baze, because they didn't treat each other respectfully. There is something that we need to understand from the proportion. There is really no mitzvah in the Torah beside the ahavta lerecha kamocha of treating somebody else respectfully. And we're talking about Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one that says, "Ve'ahavta lerecha kamocha, my desan ilach lechavrech lo tavid." He was the teacher of treating somebody else respectfully. And yet his Talmidim apparently did something that was the reason for almost destroying Torah from Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Tana kulam metu mi Pesach v'ad Atzeret. The death was between Pesach and Shavuos. That's why we have the sphere. That's a story that everybody knows. The Medrash Rabba is telling that story, but he is just changing a few words. Instead of saying that they died because they did not treat each other respectfully, the Medrash Rabba says, "Mipnei shaita einem tzara eilu be'eilu." They had a bad eye towards the somebody else. They couldn't stand somebody else's success. So instead of saying that they didn't treat each other respectfully, the Medrash may be taking it a step further, and they said it was not just lack of proper treatment, but they were really jealous at the success of someone else, and usually when somebody is jealous, they're taking some actions. So first of all, we have those two causes, if you want, for the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. We need to understand what was exactly that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva did. We're not talking here about people that committed murder or that were thieves. We're talking about Talmidei Chachomim that were supposed to be the transfer of Torah from one generation to another. What was exactly their sin? Why is this that particular sin caused such a big damage? And is there anything unique between Pesach Le'atzeret? The Gemara is telling us when they died. Is there anything unique about those dates that they died during this period? So we mentioned in the past a few explanations to what was exactly the misbehavior, if you want, of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yechezkel Levinstein, sefer called O Yechezkel, is saying that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were true Balei Musar, and they were running away from COVID as much as they could. They ran away from it. But they thought that their friend should also run away from it. So they wanted to trick them how to run away from COVID. And the way you do it is by treating him not respectfully and showing him that he really doesn't deserve the COVID. Says Reb Chatzkel Levinstein, so when Rabbi Akiva saw it, or I'm not sure Rabbi Akiva saw it or not, but the Talmidim, it looked like something which a positive intent. But the reality was, says the Gemara, that it was not because they wanted to teach them how to run away from COVID, but because they really could not withstand somebody else's success. Shaita enem tzara zo bezo. So the behavior looked as a maybe positive behavior, even though we have spoken about it in the past, that when you're hurting someone else, intent doesn't matter. Intent does not matter. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was on Yom Kippur, I think it was Tafshishin Lamed Bet, gave a shmuz in Yeshivat Meir that made a lot of noise because it was Yom Kippur, and the entire shmuz was about interpersonal mitzvot, mitzvot shebinam b'chaveo. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is mentioning there that when you hurt someone, even if you're doing it with proper intent, you're going to get hurt. He always brings the case of Pnina and Chana. The Gemara says that the Torah says v'ki asata tzarata, that Pnina gave Chana trouble. Says the Gemara, she gave her trouble not because she wanted to make her sad, but she wanted her to daven with a bigger kavana to the Rebbeinu Shalom to have children. So the intent was good. But the bottom line was that she caused tzar, she caused sorrow to someone else, and she lost all her children. Pnina lost all her children because sorrow and the pain that she gave Chana. So intent doesn't matter. And that may have been one of the mistakes of Talmid Rav Akiva, that maybe the intent was proper, but under no circumstances you can cause tzar to someone else. Rabbi Yosef Heller is saying an interesting idea, and we can relate to something that's going today in Eretz Yisrael, in the Yeshivish world. Rabbi Yosef Heller said they were Anshei Emes. They thought that whatever, how they understood Rabbi Akiva and his teaching was the proper way and the only way. So when somebody else argued with him, his chavrusa were arguing with him about something, it was not just an issue of arguing about an issue, but if you are absolutely convinced, innately, inside you, that what you're saying is the truth, that means that what somebody else is saying is not the truth. Couldn't withstand not being truthful. So the argument, which spilled over into interpersonal relationship, started with the fact that they really were looking for the truth. That's what Rabbi Yosef Feder is saying. Rabbeinu Yerucham is saying that the non-nagu kavod zevaze was not so much that they did some bad things to each other, as much as they did not look enough to do good things to their friends. And the basis for being able to transmit to the next generation is to be a Baal Chesed, and they weren't. And then, Rabbi Ochmot Chezrachi has an unbelievable, he writes very beautifully, he writes it in a poetic way. But he says that there is something which is called Matikei Shmua. That's what the Gemara says. Matikei Shmua means those that have the responsibility of transmitting Yiddishkeit to the next generation. It's not just a knowledge transmittal. It's not a university where you're just transmitting a particular amount of knowledge. It has to do with transmitting everything that comes with it. And the idea that you're not respecting someone else, and you at the same time try to transmit the Torah, those two don't go together. So it was not so much a punishment as it was the fact that they were not the proper people to transmit the Torah further because their behavior. It may have been something small. It doesn't have to make them reshoin. But if you have upon yourself the responsibility and to transmit something to the next generation, if you are the teacher, if you are the Rebbe, you cannot transmit just knowledge. You have to transmit also the underlying necessities, if you want, for the Torah. And we all know, I forgot now who's saying it, one of the Mekubalim, that Midrash, there's no mitzvah in the Torah and Midrash Torahs. There's no mitzvah in the Torah and Midrash Torahs. And he asks, why is this? And he says that Midrash Torahs is a precondition to the mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah. If you don't have them, you don't have the basis for any of the mitzvahs. So the underlying thing is that you cannot have one without the other, and therefore trying to transmit one without the other, it's a mistake. So those are the things that we mentioned in the past. We spoke about them in different length. The bottom line is that all of those reasons are telling us that they really did not understand that they have internalized, that they have not internalized, I'm sorry, the idea that they have to feel the other one. That there's somebody out there that they have to see how they feel and how what they do impact that other one. Why was it between Pesach and Atzeret? The Maharsha is saying Atzeret, and I'll try to explain it in a little different way. The Maharsha is saying that Ben Pesach LaAtzeret, he brings Midrashim, that this is a time which is a time for healing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has actually sent physical healings during this time between Pesach and Atzeret, and they died during this time to show that it was not just a coincidence, that even at the time where usually Refuah Ba'ala Olam, there is a healing and a health that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down, that was the time that they died to show that it was something special and intentional by the Rebbe Neshel. A few weeks ago, I read an article from Arab Sherman. Arab Abraham Sherman is an Arab based in Tel Aviv. In Israel, I'm not sure if it's on the books or not, but there's something called Chok Yisod. Chok Yisod means that it's a foundation. It's a law that is a foundation law. And the fact that it's a foundation law gives it an overwhelming strength over regular laws. And what was this foundation law? It was Chok Zchuyot Adam, the rights of a human being. And everything that violates the rights of a human being is every law that will interfere with the right of violating human being is subjugated to the overwhelming law of the rights of human being. And naturally, it became very controversial because you can say almost on everything that it may interfere with the rights of someone. So they asked Rav Sherman to come to write an article, and then he came and spoke in a forum, and all the judges of the Supreme Court were there. And they asked him what he thinks about it. But I think that the gist of what he said was something the following. Civilized law today basically puts at its center the rights of a human being. We have rights. And that right is overwhelming, and therefore it allows us to do a lot of things. He says in the Torah, there are very few rights. These are not negations. Everything that we have in our life is an obligation. The rights that somebody has emanates from the obligation that we have. It's not that it starts with the rights of an individual. It starts with an obligation of someone else, and those obligations actually give everyone the rights. A very important distinction. In the minute that you're talking about, and we will bring a lot of examples, but in the minute that you're talking about human rights, there's no end to it. I have the right to demand my rights. In Jewish law, I have the right to demand my right, but the way I'm demanding it is by coming to Beis Din and say, you did not fulfill the obligation that you have towards me. You know, the Rambam, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but the Rambam is starting the halachos of relationship between a husband and a wife. Hilchos Ishus. He says that the husband has 10 obligations to his wife. And out of those 10 obligations, there are 4 rights that emanates to him from those obligations. In the minute that we speak about obligation rather than right, the whole picture changes. The other thing that he said is that in Yiddishkeit we have the human rights is called in the Aloche the rights of the Nivroim, of the created. And in the minute that you say the right of the created, you by definition say that there is a creator. And the rights that we have and the obligations that we have are emanating from the fact that we have somebody that created us, and that gives us some right, but more than this, it gives others the obligation. When you start thinking about it, the whole idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh. The Gemara spoke about the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, told Moshe Rabbeinu, go out and look if there is anybody left in their tent. If there is anybody left in their tent, remember, even the number 600,000, okay, and there were a lot more than 600 because there were a lot of kids, whatever have you. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, if there is one left in the tent, I'm not giving it a tent. I know that when I was teaching in a high school, there was always somebody who slept late. Okay? You're talking here about a crowd, and some of them were complainers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them, if somebody is left out there, I'm not giving the tent. It's a subject for a cheer by itself. But the bottom line is that we cannot give up on anybody. We cannot give up on any yid. There is an obligation of us to the other one. That's what makes us all together. It's not that each one of us has rights. Because if each one of us has rights, there's nothing that brings us in together. Because my rights, many times, contradict with your rights. I don't have to bring you much more examples than the basic question of abortion. Okay? You have two sides, and the two sides basically are saying a woman has a right to her body, and therefore she can do whatever she wants. And if that's the approach, they're right. But if we will see that our obligation to our body comes from, our rights to our body, I'm sorry, coming from obligation of being the creation of the Ribono Shel Olam, then I don't have a right to take another creation and kill it. I don't have the right to do with my body whatever I want, because it's really not mine. I have an obligation to keep my body, because my body is the creation of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Gemara says, Rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying it many times here, Rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Yidden rights. So what did he do? Lefika chirba lehem Torah u'mitzvos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give you rights, and how did he give it to you? By loading you with Torah and mitzvos, by giving you a lot of obligations. All the rights that we earn in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by fulfilling the obligation. It doesn't start with, it's my right. When we have Hilchos Shchein, when we have laws of neighbors, I live in my house, you live in your house. The laws start with the whole notion of, what is this that I am obligated to my neighbor? What is this that I am forbidden to do to my neighbor? Those obligations to do and not to do create the other one's rights. The husband obligation toward his wife, and similarly the wife obligation towards her husband. Those are the ones that create the rights of each one of them. It's not that they start with the right, I have the right and I'm coming to this marriage to exercise my rights. Because if you come into this marriage to exercise your right, this marriage is not going to last long. And I can tell you, from a lot of experiences that we are going through in our house with people that have a marriage problem, the first and the utmost problem is, what is people's expectation from the marriage? And if each one expects to gain from it as much as they can, this thing is not going to last long. It's going to clash, because the expectations will definitely pull them apart. If the whole idea is that we are going into a situation where our obligations are to maximize to each other, then each one gets the most because the other one wants to give him the most. But if you have two takers, or sometimes you have one giver, but the other one is a taker and not a giver, that's where it ends up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us zchusim, he wanted to give us rights, and the way he did it, by Hirbala and Torah Mitzvos. I want to give you a few interesting examples to really make the point. The Torah is saying, Betzelem Elokim Boro Es Adam, we were created in God's image. Terrific. So each one of us walk, and we can walk out and say, hey, you better treat me correctly, because I am God's image. I have the right to demand it. The only problem is that every one of us has the same right to demand it. And sometimes when we clash, each one comes, it's my right, and the other one says, no, it's my right. Says the Gemara, listen to the simple thing. K'tiv Anoichi Hashem Elokecho, that's a Yalkut Shimoini. It's written in the Torah, I am God, your creator, U'kenek do'iloi tirzach, in the Aseres Adibois. Magid HaKosuf, Shekol mishu shofech dam, whoever is killing somebody, male alav akosuf ki ilu memaet betmut, as if I'm killing the Ribono Shel Olam, or as if I'm diminishing the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Gemara says that the example is when a king puts a lot of statues in his image, and somebody comes and smashes those statues. You're not smashing the statues, you're smashing the king. So the Gemara says that the entire issue to kill someone else, listen to this, is because you're killing a creation of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. My right to life is a right because I'm the creation of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and because you're not allowed to kill it. So there are two issues here. I am the creation, and I'm getting the rights because you're not allowed to do anything to this creating of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Gemara says, "Kol misheino oisek bepiriyah v'ribya." If somebody doesn't want to have any children, keilu shoyfech damim. It's if he's killed. Why? Shenemar shoyfech damo odom beodom damo yishofech. Uktiv batrei vatem puvu. Rabbi Yaakov Omer. That's the important point. Keilu memaet admut. If I don't want to have children, as if I'm diminishing the Rebbeinu Shloim. Why? כי בצלם אלוקים שנאמר כי בצלם אלוקים עשה את האדם וכתיב בתרי ואתם פורבו. So how do you bring the צלם אלוקים to the world? By multiplying. Now let me give you the third example. אמרו עליו על הלל הזוקן כשהיה נפטר מתלמידיו, when הלל הזוקן said goodbye to his students, היה מהלך והולך עמהם, he used to walk with them. אמרו לו תלמידיו, רבי, להיכן אתה הולך? Where are you going, Rabbi? אמר להם לעשות מצווה. I'm going to do a mitzvah. אמרו לו, וכי מה מצווה זו? What mitzvah are you going to do? אמר להם לרחוץ בבית המרחץ. I'm going to the mikveh to get clean. אמרו לו, וכי זו מצווה היא? What kind of a mitzvah is to go to the mikveh and get clean? אז הוא אומר להם, yes, it is a mitzvah. מה עם עיקונים של מלוכים שמעמידים אותו בבתי תיאטראות? I'll just say it in English. He says, when you have statues and you see that people wash those statues once a day, once a week, but they always make sure that the statues are clean. He said, we, אני שנבראתי בצלם ובדמות, דכתיב בצלם אלוקים עשה את האדם על אחת כמה וכמה. I am the statue of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not a statue. I'm a creation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if I'm the creation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have to be clean. Did anybody of us thought about it in this way? I have to be clean, not because it's my right to be clean or it's an obligation not to hurt the other. I have to be clean because I have an obligation as the creation of the Ribbono Shel Olam to be clean. It's all obligations. It's all obligations. But my obligations towards you is the one that gives you the right. And your obligation towards me is the one that gives me the right. And sometimes when it comes to dinei mominis, when it comes to monetary issues, sure there is rights. But those rights emanate from what you owe me, and from the fact that I'm the creation and therefore I have certain monetary rights as the creation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The whole notion of tzedakah, kibud hoirim, takonis that chachomim made over the years, there are thousands of decrees that were made for the good of the public. All of those are coming from the same thing, from the fact that we are really obligated to do to each other. Okay. There's a pasuk in Bereishis. Ze sefer toldot ha'adam biyom bara Elokim Adam bidmut Elokim asato. Ze sefer toldot ha'adam. This is the book of the way that a person was created. Says the Medrash. It's a Yerushalmi in the Medrash. Tanya. Rabbi Akiva omer ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. We all know ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Ze klal gadol b'Torah. Ben Azai omer ze sefer toldot ha'adam. Klal gadol mize. Ben Azai say that this pasuk of Ze Sefer Toldot Adam is something even bigger than what Rabbi Akiva said. Says the Torah Tmime on the spot. Fascinating interpretation of it. It says Rabbi Akiva is saying Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You should love your friend like you love yourself. We all know that that's impossible. So Rabbi Akiva come and explained it. My desan ilach lechavrech lo tavid. We don't mean that you will feel towards others the same way that you feel about yourself. Impossible. But what we're talking here is about something proactive. Don't do to someone else what you don't like to do to yourself. What happens if somebody doesn't care? He doesn't care to suffer. He doesn't care to live in the street. Does he have the obligation to do it to his friend? Do I have to do for my friend more than I do for myself? According to Rabbi Akiva, that's the limit. whatever you don't like, don't do to others. But if it's something that doesn't bother you, lechora, according to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't have to bother me to do it to the others. Comes Ben Azai and say, "Besefer zet toldot Adam, betzelem Elokim boros Adam." You have to treat someone else, not like yourself, but like the creation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's a much bigger obligation. It has nothing to do anymore with you, how you feel. It has to do with who is the person that you're treating. And you're treating somebody who is the creation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you have to do it differently. All of the explanations, that's the eureka moment that I had a few weeks ago. First of all, I think that the concept itself, it's a fascinating concept. It takes everything that we know about Yiddishkeit and comparing it to civil law, especially when it comes to human rights, and it puts it in a light that explains a lot of the things. Everything that you see today that is so obnoxious in terms of I cannot say anymore I'm a male, I cannot say anymore I'm a female. Everybody has rights. The rights are just limitless and you can do whatever you want, okay? And the German had rights too, they thought. Once you put the center of everything rights and not obligation, there's no end to the tragedies that can happen because we all have rights and we will define those rights and those definitions become bigger and bigger and it doesn't matter who stands on the way, we have the rights. When you look at obligation, the whole thing is completely different. It has to do with relationship between people. It has to do with the fact that we are Kedoshim Tiyur, what the parsha we're going to read this week. And by the way, most of the mitzvahs in this parsha, which is called Kedoshim, you would think that the Torah will talk there about all the things that makes you holy. The vast majority of the mitzvahs in this parsha are interpersonal mitzvahs. But the Torah said, Kedoshim Tiyu, they called us Kedoshim, we can all be holy. But the Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Parsha is Oba Hakel Nemor. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered everybody. Because you cannot be Kodesh if you by yourself. There's a lot of Pirushim on this, but that's the meaning, Parsha is Oba Hakel Nemor. You can say, I want to be holy, I want to go to the forest, I want to be mitbodet, be isboidibus by myself. Says the Torah, no. If you want to be a real Kodesh, Behakel Nemra, you have to do it as part of the cloud. The notion of individual rights can be exercised only in context of being part of the cloud. I would venture to say that maybe one of the mistakes of Talmidei Rav Akiva was that particular notion. שלא נוהגו כובע את זה בזה. ומפני שהייתה עיניהם צרה אלו באלו. Are all ways of expressing the same idea. The idea is they didn't look so much at the obligations that they have towards the other as much as at the rights that they have. And each Talmud was probably a big Talmud Kochan, was something that was deserving of the covet. But in the minute that his concentration was on what he deserves, and on the fear that whatever the other one has is taking away from his rights, those were not the people who can transmit the Torah further, says Rabbi Ochmot Chazachi. To be transmitter of the Torah is such an essential part of this transmission. Not to look at your rights, but to look at your obligations, the Talmidei Rav Akiva could no longer do it. And it's an interesting that the Medrash is saying, "Bishat mitato shel Rav Elezer," and we'll finish with this. The Medrash is saying, "Bishat mitato shel Rav Elezer, nichnesu talmidav v'yashvu lefanav." The Talmidim of Rav Elezer came in front of Rav Elezer and sat in front of him. "V'amru lo, rabdeinu lamdeinu halacha." We want you to teach us something, halacha. Now, they didn't ask him to say a shir before he's dying. They looked for him and they said, teach us something that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. You're about to depart this world. Omar lahem, ma'alam etchem, se'u v'hizaharu, ish b'chvot chavero. Go out and be very careful in the honor that you give to your fellow human being. ובשעה שאתם מתפללים, היו יודעים לפני מי אתם עומדים, שבשביל זה תיכנסו לחיי העולם הבא. So we're talking about the Talmidim of Rav Elezer. He's about to die, and he gives them a lesson. And the first thing that he is telling them is, צאו והיזהרו. I saw somebody once say a beautiful word. He could have told them, what is צאו והיזהרו? He could have told them, be careful to honor each other. What's the lesson צאו והיזהרו? So he wanted to say that Rav Elezer wanted to tell them here a big message. Get out of yourself. Stop concentrating on yourself. That's the get out. That's the tzu. And then, v'izahu b'chvot chaverechem. Then you can be careful on what, on how to honor your friends. So the notion of Talmid, the whole notion of the Sfina is, we are obligated. We have a lot of obligations, and the rights that will emanate is from somebody else's obligation. And that's the notion of Kol Yisrael Averim Zeh Lazeh. And maybe that's the reason that they died when Pesach La'atzeret. The Ma'asho say because this was a tkufa, Ki Ani Hashem Rofecho, here is a tkufa for healing. I think that there's a much bigger message here. The message here, you cannot come to Kabbalah Satayah. You cannot come to be accepting the Torah unless there is this element. And they didn't have this element, so the Torah had to be stopped. That was the message. Pesach Teshuvos is a way to prepare ourselves to Kabbalah Satayah, and they did not do it properly. Thank you very much.